Honorable Faiza Mustafa, you have 12 minutes.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I am thankful for the opportunity to speak on the proposed Gambling Regulatory Authority Bill. Honorable Deputy Speaker, various quarters in this House has echoed sentiments, but one has to realize that casino and gambling has already been legitimatized. And that what needs to be debated before this House, whether the present regulatory bill has oversight, accountability and responsible governance. Honorable Deputy Speaker, the global casino market is valued at $287 billion in 2022 and is predicted to reach $477 billion in 2031. Gambling and casinos are considered a necessary evil. But unless we are geared, we will lose out in international tourism. My faith, gambling is prohibited. But unfortunately, it is today a necessary evil if we want to entice tourism in this country. So we are looking at it not to promote gambling within us, but with regard to enticing foreign nationals to come here and bring us valuable foreign exchange which we need. Honorable Deputy Speaker, when you speak about gambling, pre-colonial times also there were various forms of gambling, like sheet to cockfighting, etc. I would not dwell because I think Dr. Kaushalya dealt with it quite extensively. The first regulatory framework was brought during colonial times, the Gaming Ordinance 17 of 1889, that criminalized unlawful gambling and commonplace gambling. Further, horse racing is a form of gambling. It was also regulated under Betting on Horse Racing Ordinance. Post-independence, Sri Lanka took a different stand. Gambling was not encouraged. It was somewhat prohibited. However, the state, through various lotteries, the hospital lottery in 1950s and the National Lotteries Board encouraged gambling. Sweep is a form of gambling. So one side, the state says don't gamble, but the state realized gambling revenue was used for the purpose of development. The open economy in 1977, the emergence of the casino industry. It was an illegal industry, but the governments turned a blind eye. However, the Gaming and Levy Act of 1988, one side the government said gaming and casino is illegal, but it was used as a revenue generating exercise. So the government taxed gaming while saying it was an illegal act, thereby giving it tacit acceptance. So the government didn't have the courage to say it is legitimate. It said it was illegal, maybe because of politics or other social norms, but thought fit to collect revenue through taxes. The first time casinos and gaming were legitimized by a license was by Act No. 17 of 2010. Thereby, there was a licensing mechanism for casinos in this country. So legitimacy was only in 2010. In 2013-2014, the Australian billionaire Packer wanted to invest in a casino in Sri Lanka. There was a major social outcry. His investment was $350 to $400 million. However, other than the social factors, there was an economic factor which was detrimental to the nation because his profits were not taxed for 10 years. So therefore, state revenue, according to some estimation, for a period of 10 years would be revenue loss approximately $1 billion. In 2015, the then government cancel all the permits and all concessions given, and thereby Packer left, and that was the end of their project. At present, all operators are not given any form of concession in terms of taxes and levies. In addition, there are local operators. There is a foreign operator who has invested $125 million. That too is subject to the same taxation and levies. So there is a level playing field, and through taxation, the state is able to obtain much needed revenue. However, one looks at the 2010 Act, there were various issues, there were grievances. They said there is no proper mechanism to monitor money laundering, and somewhat gaming was unregulated because of the loopholes in the law. I would say that the Gaming Regulatory Authority is a step in the right direction, but there are certain shortcomings and loopholes I believe this government need to address. The 2010 Act gave the finance minister absolute discretion to grant or refuse a license. Thereby, in terms of the 2000 Act, without political patronage, you cannot get a license. The present bill creates an authority, and also, if there is a refusal by the authority, you can appeal to the secretary, and from the secretary, you can appeal to the Court of Appeal. Thereby, there was a transparent mechanism if a license is refused or suspended. The present bill replaced certain old enactments which were in existence. In addition to land-based casinos, the online casino is valued at, the global value is 110 billion. However, anybody who has a telephone can access online gaming. So I appeal to the government to bring more stringent laws and regulations, because casinos do not attract the common man. Casinos has a less, it affects the common man less. However, online gaming could be an addiction. Therefore, I appeal to this government to look at bringing very stringent laws and regulation to monitor online gaming. And in addition, whereas a physical casino creates jobs, entice tourism, but if we have online gaming, revenue will go out and there is no net benefit to the country. Also, Honorable Deputy Speaker, when we talk about autonomy, I would like to bring the Deputy Speaker's attention to Section 77.1. Whilst the authority has certain autonomy in terms of the bill, Section 77.1 gives a minister to give directions which the authority is obliged to follow. This could be considered as an infringement on the autonomy. So therefore, I would like the government to address this section. Unlike a statutory authority, when you have a regulatory authority, the minister giving dictates can affect its independence. However, I would like to reiterate that the present bill is more progressive than the 2010 Act, because it has more transparency. In addition, Sri Lanka encourages casinos in this country only and only for the purpose of enticing foreigners to come and gamble here. Therefore, I would urge the government to consider having a representative from the tourism sector to represent the authority. Thereby, views in relation to tourism can be further addressed. Also, Honorable Deputy Speaker, I believe there is ambiguity in this bill with regard to certain provisions. Section 22, which refers to a main cash desk. Today, we are in the digital age. A main cash desk should not be interpreted as a physical main cash desk, but it should include other generally accepted forms of payments like electronic transactions, which would connect to one centralized system. So, the definition, main cash desk should mean to one centralized system, thereby being in compliance to the definition of the main cash desk. The term currency in Section 22.
Honorable Faizal Mustafa, you have two more minutes.
The term currency in Section 22 I believe should be read with section 59 to include electronic fund transfers. Because if you give a very restrictive meaning, especially in a day and age where everything is digital and there's in a digital form, and also where everything is electronic, allowing other forms of payments would be better for overseas travelers and would remain auditable. There are some other defined terms such as digital gambling, gambling software, prohibited gambling machine, junket operators, casino game, which I believe need clarity. Unless there is clarity by way of regulations, there will be a lot of ambiguity in this bill and this act. So, unfortunately, the minister is not here at this point of time. I would urge that the deputy minister take into consideration the various issues which I have raised. I have raised studying the bill, and I see this is very progressive, but if you see international norms and practices for operators to operate in Sri Lanka, there need to be clear definitions. And when there is ambiguity, the best would be the minister is empowered to bring regulations, and through these regulations, get over the ambiguity created. Because today I see lot of debate on casinos. I would like to reiterate, in 2010 casinos had come to stay in Sri Lanka. So if one is going to speak about social norms, you said no, you said yes, the bus has passed. Now here, what this house, unfortunately some have missed the bus in this house as well, what is there to be debated before this house? Whether the authority created has transparency, accountability, and I would like the opposition to take the views expressed. I would like to appeal to the government to take the views expressed by us. Nobody is here as expert, and thereby get over the ambiguity. Because if this authority would encourage other major operators to come into Sri Lanka, and it is a known fact. Now, Singapore, they first discouraged gambling. They brought in
Honorable Faizal Mustafa, your time is
just
up.
Just half a minute. Singapore opposed gambling. However, they did a deep study and they brought in casinos. Their GDP through casinos has increased by 1 to 2%. Their tourism arrivals increased by another 50% by setting up casinos. Thereby, I humbly beg this house to look at this progressively, but look at the shortcomings, because here nobody is here to look at religion here, because in 2010 this house has already voted that casinos should be given a license. So that these social factors are a different issue. What we are debating here is whether there is a conducive legal environment for a regulatory authority to perform, which is fair to the public and to the operator and to the public at large. I thank you.